The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Golfi with RE/MAX, the Golfi team. Welcome to the Golfi Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, with host Rick Samperin.
Good morning once again. Another beautiful Saturday morning in the city. And it's beautiful because we're talking to Rob Golfi, sales representative, RE/MAX, Escarpment Realty, the Golfi team. And he's going to get your home sold. And for top dollar in this wild and wacky spring market, the number one RE/MAX team in Canada is the Golfi team. If you want to sell your house or you're in the mood to buy one, give them a call at 905-575-7700. Online, the website is robgolfi.com. That's robgolfi.com. They're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, X, you name the social media platform. The Golfi team has some awesome listings and some interesting videos from time to time. If you have a topic idea or a question for the Golfi team that you would like addressed on a future show, don't be afraid to send them an email. Questions at robgolfi.com is the email address. Again, that's questions@robgolfi.com. If you missed any of that, don't you worry. I will be repeating it ad nauseum throughout the program. Before we begin, and as we always do, actually, we're talking about the real estate life that it is of Mr. Golfi in the last week. What has been going on?
You know what? I've been busy. I'm very active. I don't think there is a team leader out there like myself that loves this business as much as I do. And I was just talking to my media team and we were just comparing ourselves with like our online presence and just the love that I have for this business. I guess because of my love, it shows, through our business that we are number one in the industry, not only just that in the Hamilton, Halton, Niagara, Brantford regions, but we're number one in Canada for with RE/MAX and in Canada, and number two in the world with RE/MAX, which I'm gonna, I'm proud to say. So I just wanted to say thank you to my team members and thank you to all my clients that entrusted us in helping them find sell their house and buy a house through us. We work very hard to make sure that we get them top dollar. If they're buying, we try to negotiate a good deal for them. But I just love this business, and I work with my agents. Like sometimes they, if they call me, I just had a meeting yesterday, an all day meeting yesterday, and we were just discussing that I've never said no to any realtor on my team if they needed help. Me going with an appointment with them or anything, I've said yes all the time. So, nice. I just hope I can keep this energy level going for the next 20 years, which I think I can. I'm pretty sure I've got it in me to do that. My energy level is probably the same or even greater than I was probably 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and 30 years ago. So, I'm just a lot smarter now than I was years ago. But I do have a high energy level. And I think it's a rare thing. It's a DNA that I got that a lot of people don't get. And I happen to be one of the lucky ones. I won the lottery of full of energy and being positive and excitement and all that kind of stuff. So I have to thank my parents for having a combination of them to have me. So that's great. but I wanted to talk about like how the market has been. Like you can't go by what history is. So I got here months of inventory, just say for the Hamilton area. Mm-hmm. And I went back as far as 2015 and it shows like months of inventory, like February 1.9, 1.8. And it's just, normal. But now if you go like last year, like this year right now in 2023, it's hard to gauge, but we're at like 2.9 to 2.4 months of inventory for January, February of this year. So our months of inventory has increased. Now, the one thing that really messed up the trend of following trends is that COVID, the interest rates, how people are spending, buying, it just totally changed the dynamics. Like you cannot go by, 5-year, 10-year trends. Now, the one trend that we did pick up is that housing prices are moving up faster than they normally did. Usually house prices double every 10 years. In some cases, it's doubled in less than 10 years. Now, but I still hold the double every 10 years because sometimes who knows what's going to happen. Like we had, like in 2017, we had a spike at the beginning of 2017, then it dropped. So that was the peak at one moment. You know, 2015 was great. 2016 was good. Then the first quarter or first half of 2017, it was great. And then it dropped. So we had the same thing that happened in 2022. That was a peak. Then things dropped. But it's happening sooner than it usually does. Usually, you know, you'd have that, you know, maybe not real, I call it real estate recession or real estate adjustment. Usually would happen probably every 10 years, but it's actually happening sooner. So we're getting the spike, but we're getting the adjustment, but the adjustment is not coming down as much as the spike went up. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why they're not putting interest rates down yet, because they don't want to have another boom happening, especially in the spring market. Cause the market is doing well right now. There's no doubt about it. But I don't want people to understand that the spring market is doing well, that housing prices are going up. The spring market's doing well based on more activity is happening and people are out buying. But the prices are kind of, you know, they're moving a little slightly up from they were maybe last year, towards the end of last year. But I just let you know that there's more buyers out there in the marketplace than not necessarily you're going to get, you know, $50,000 more than what it was your neighbor's house was last year, or $100,000 more. There's positive outlook out there. We know it is expensive. It is getting tougher. And especially the housing is becoming very difficult to afford. And that's why they're not adjusting the interest rate yet. They're probably going to do it this summer. And if they don't do it, it's because the housing market's strong, mm-hmm. and they're just going to leave it. You know what I mean? If this market continues the way it's going right now, especially in March, they're going to hold off because they do not want these things, that this market, to go out of control and people end up, not affording even more. Like, I mean, people, it's a struggle out there for people to afford homes.
I want to spend a little more time on days on market. So I just want our listeners to understand, you know, what the numbers mean. So in March of 2024, that number is 3.5 months of inventory. That compares to 2.4 in February and 2.9 in January. So does that 3.5 mean that we have enough homes up for sale that if we sold them all and no other homes came on the market, we would be done with them in 3.5 months? Is that kind of how to explain
it? Yes. Yeah. Okay. So based on the trend that's happening in the sales trend that's happening, let's say we put no more houses up for sale,
yeah.
Zero houses up for sale. We have enough inventory to last for 3.5 months. So after 3.5 months, we will be down to zero to no inventory. So, okay. So that just shows you the inventory level is pretty good. There's quite a bit out there. There's a lot that are overpriced. But you can see during at the end of 2021, mm-hmm. you barely had even a month of inventory. Like it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks of inventory. So you have to, and then, you know what I mean? So things were pretty, like 2021 was a great year and the first quarter of 2022. Then things started coming, falling down. And in the end of last year, the last quarter of last year was brutal. It was dormant. The market was dormant, basically. People that were buying houses were the people that had to buy a house. They had to, you know, I mean, they just needed to buy a house. And the months of inventory at the last 4 months of last year were over 4 months of inventory. And we knew that the market was dormant. We knew that things were tough. But the homeowner that needed to sell and had to sell, they had to keep dropping their price. That same house probably coming in to the spring of this year, somebody could make money on that. So it's just, I can gauge it. Just like I said, in Burlington, you can buy a house in Burlington November, December and sell it in March, April for probably $100,000 plus more and make $100,000. So. But yeah, the months of inventory gives you an indication of of the buyers in the marketplace if they're buying.
And it's interesting to note, you mentioned the dormant, you know, last quarter of last year, 4.5 months in September, 4.6 in October, 4.1 November, and 4 even in December. Those are the highest numbers on this chart. And this chart that I'm looking at dates back to 2015. So it's probably even, you'd probably have to go back to the 2010s to find, you know, numbers like that.
Exactly. So that was probably one of the worst of 4 months of like since 2015, like, and probably even further. And like, it's probably the worst in 20 years of months of inventory. It's been, yeah, like it was a tough 4 months for anybody that needed and had to sell.
And if we think that number's bad, Niagara, they were in the 7 month range.
Yes, that was tough. I know they were, and they'd never hit that ever. Wow. Before, and then the end of last year, they were in the five, 6 months of inventory, and then the end of 2023 in the seven months of inventory. And right now, I mean, like in January, they were at 5 months of inventory in Niagara. February, they dropped down to 3.7. So right now, it's hovering at 5.6. Now, the month's not over yet in March. Mm-hmm. So that'll probably drop down to probably 4 months of inventory. So Niagara is a little bit of a struggle right now. You better be priced right in Niagara, because if you're not, you're just going to be sitting on the market. And we sell a lot in Niagara. And we basically, you know, we kind of show them, say, hey, this is what's going on. Here's what your competition is. And but Niagara picks up usually a month or two later after Hamilton. So basically, it's like I said before, the wave comes from Toronto. Mm-hmm. The market picks up in Toronto, and then it hits Hamilton, and then it goes to Niagara. So Niagara is kind of a late bloomer almost in some times. So it just you just got to pick it out exactly. So it's like seeing the wave coming from Toronto. You could see it coming, but it's going to take a few months to get to here.
Yeah, and that 5.6 months of inventory in Niagara last month pales in comparison to what we see in terms of the busiest year perhaps on record in 2021, where the highest number for months of inventory was 1.2, which is incredible. And that was in September, but we've got to go. When we come back, we're going to talk about an interesting idea by the Ontario Liberals. And will the province follow suit, or will any jurisdiction say, yeah, that's a really good idea, let's do it? We'll talk about it next here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team, the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. As you heard Rod mention in our opening segment, the number two RE/MAX team in the world. It's the Golfy team. Call them today to get your home sold at 905-575-7700. Online, robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. You can also check them out on TikTok and X, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads as well. And for an instant home estimate, you're kind of wondering, if I put my home on the market, how much would it go for? Well, you can get a pretty good idea of plopping in some information online at golfyhomevalue.com. Again, that is golfyhomevalue.com. Let's get into a very intriguing thought by the Ontario Liberals. They are saying, listen, you know what the province should do? Is amend the official plan and zoning bylaws. And for any zone, any piece of land zoned residential, we should be allowed to build 4 residential units up to 4 stories. Rob, what do you think about this?
You know what? As an investor, I think it's fantastic. But as a homeowner, do you want that next door to you? That's the thing. So I think in areas like newer areas, I don't know if they'll allow it. I know a lot of residents, if they're strong, they're going to try to stop it. I think, you know, what they should do is build a subdivision of duplexes, fourplexes.
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of have the park. It's made for the parking. It's made, you know what I mean? Like, you have fourplexes. If you get a couple living in each unit, they have two cars. That's going to be eight cars. You need parking for eight cars. Now, if you put a fourplex in a regular residential neighborhood, let's say there was a bungalow, and it's 60 by or 70 by 120 foot lot. Yeah, you probably got the room, but you're going to have a lot of front lawn as a parking lot. Is that what they want? Like, or do you bring it to the back of the house so that, you know, you keep the front looking decent? So it is going to be tough. You're going to see it happen. But I think there's going to be a lot of restrictions if they're allowing that, because a lot of people don't want a fourplex in a regular residential neighborhood where you got cars parked on the street, you got cars filled up, because usually, you know, and everybody does it. If you don't have a double wide parking spot in front of your house, you're parking either in front of each other. So one has to get up both you have to get up in the morning. One has to move the car and let the other person out, or vice versa. So, and that's tough enough as it is. But now when you got eight people with cars, it's going to be tough. But I do think maybe duplexes is probably the way to go. Fourplexes, I think, is a bit much. And downtown, like in the downtown cores, yeah, maybe you can do it, you know, where the city centers are, where the high density is. But they're introducing this. I think there's going to be a lot of restrictions depending on neighborhoods. And, you know, like if you live in a neighborhood that houses are like $1.5 to $2 million, you're not going to want a fourplex in that neighborhood. There's no way. I wouldn't want it if I was living there. So, but it'd be too expensive anyway to build one there, because land cost would be expensive. And if you have to buy a house, tear it down and build that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no way.
When I read this, I thought, okay, it's an interesting idea, but I kind of just thought of the current, you know, neighborhoods that we have. Let's just go to, I don't know, Crown Point or somewhere in the East End where the homes are really close together. And now, what are you going to do? Tear down a house and build, you know, a four story kind of fourplex? I don't see, even if this were allowed, I don't see many people saying, all right, let's build this.
No, I don't think so. But I do think there will be ones built. The investors are going to jump in on this and go for it, and maybe that's what they want. And like to me, you know, owning a fourplex, like I was looking at this one building, and I think it was a sixplex. It had I can't remember if it was a six or fourplex. It was built after November of 2018. And we know anything built after November 2018, you're not under the rent control with the landlord tenant board. But I do think they're gonna have to put a lot of restrictions on it. As a homeowner, there's no way I would want something like that next door to me. You know, like you don't want somebody tearing down a house next door and all of a sudden you see this three or four story building going up and you're like, you know, what's going on here? Like, you know what I mean? Like I think they have to restrict certain neighborhoods and stuff like that. And I don't see this. It's going to be tough for them to pass this, but we need to do something. And like, we're starting to, like our country, we got more land than any most countries out there. I don't know why they're not, you know, allowing regular residential houses. That's a big cause of our problem with housing. It's because it's expensive, because they're holding back on land, green land. Eventually it's going to be developed. So why not just do it? We got the land to do it. Just do it. And, but they're trying to protect this, but it's eventually going to be lifted. I mean, they didn't have any those thoughts when people were coming here in the mid 1800s, 1900s, early 1900s. But now all of a sudden they want to protect it. And they still want to bring immigrants in. So you either have to make up your mind. Don't bring immigrants in and then protect it. And then we're fine. But if you're going to bring immigrants in, you got to open up the land and do it. And I know people don't like the idea of turning green space into housing, but guess what? We all live in a house. That house that you're living in was green space at one time. So, you know, we want to grow as a country, and we've got the land to grow, and it'd be probably 2,000 years or 5,000 years from now, we still will probably have a lot of land, and it'd be fine. So I don't know. I think they can't make up their minds what they want to do, and they're causing this problem, that this housing crisis that we're in.
Make a good point with the traffic too. I mean, if we're adding a four-story fourplex and we have, let's just say for sake of argument, six vehicles now added to this one property, if that properties in a neighborhood that is close to a school. I mean, the traffic impacts would be quite severe. So that's definitely something that they'll have to take into consideration. Let's talk about million-dollar listings. There is a report from pointtohomes.com. It did an analysis of February real estate listings in Canada's 70th biggest cities and towns. And it found that Ontario and BC by far and away had the most homes for sale listed at more than $1 million, which is not a surprise. You know, we have the biggest cities in the country. Why not have the most $1 million homes? What may be a surprise, though, was number one on the list. And because I think most people would probably say Vancouver, maybe Toronto. Number one on the list, though, was Delta, BC, boasted the highest proportion of listings over $1 million. 80.5% of the homes for sale are listed at $1 million or more. Were you surprised to see Delta, BC number one?
I don't even know. Where is Delta, BC?
It's in the Delta.
I was surprised. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably a small community. It's, you know, and there's not many homes there. They're probably, you know, but yeah, there's, they've got 80% of their homes. So forget about moving there. If you're thinking of, you know, leaving Ontario to go to the West and find something cheaper, you're not going to find it in Delta. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's not a huge community. And I know this just looking at the current listings, there's 303 current listings, and that's not a large number. So 244 of the 303 listings are $1 million or more. And that's how you get to that 8% figure. Number two on the list is Vancouver, 70.5% of the listings in Vancouver were more than $1 million. And I looked at this, and what surprised me is that I would have thought that every home in Vancouver is over $1 million. Like, what home in Vancouver is under $1 million? I want to see that.
Yeah, no kidding. You know why? Because I remember when my friend moved out there, and he moved out there probably like 30 years ago. I'm trying to remember. And everybody had an apartment in their basement. Everybody, like if you bought a house, so what Vancouver was 30 years ago, we're experiencing now. That, like, for some reason, I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of homes right now, like a bungalow or whatever, two story, they have apartments in the basement to help them either pay for their house or whatever. But in Vancouver, I remember when he's moving out there, and he said everybody in the street had an apartment in their basement so they can afford to pay for the house. And Vancouver's always been very expensive. And I think he lived in Richmond, BC, so mm-hmm. which is not too far from Vancouver. So, but yeah, like it's and that's what drives the prices up, because now you got more money coming in to pay for the house. So my friend had a tenant in the basement. His wife worked. He worked. So there's three incomes that are coming in to pay for that that mortgage on that house.
Wow.
So you need three incomes to pay for a house now. So you got to find that third income. And then you know what makes it even tougher? So what about you know, there's a couple that, you know, they got married, you know, they lived together first, but now they got married, they want to have kids. They're thinking twice about having kids because one of them has to get off on maternity leave. And they're not going to get their full salary that they're used to getting. They're going to get, you know, EI, and EI only pays what, $500, $550 a week, and that's it. And they're probably used to, you know, making double that net a week or whatever. So it changes a lot of the dynamics of people growing a family in this country because of homes that are, you know, the cost of homes.
By the way, Delta, BC has 102,000 people. I just checked the population. So about half the size of Oakville. So yeah, quite tiny. But back to this list of which markets have the largest share of $1 million listings. Delta, BC, number one, 80.5%. Vancouver, second, 70.5%. Third is Oakville, 69.1% of its listings top $1 million, followed by Richmond Hill at 63.5%. And then Richmond, BC, you just brought that up, 63.2%. Newfoundland, St. John's, Newfoundland, is at the bottom of this list of the 70 cities analyzed. Just 1.5% of homes in St. John's cross the $1 million market.
Wow. See that? Yeah. It's just, and it's going to get out there eventually because people are starting to move out there. A friend of mine lives in Halifax. He's a realtor in Halifax. And when competition started happening out there, they had no idea how to deal with it. They've never experienced that. And this was probably about 5 years ago, or I think it was around the 2000, 2017. And he's calling and says, Rob, like, I never experienced this. We got like 5 offers on this house. What do you do? How do you deal with it? And so I, you know, we kind of coached him on how to deal with it. And now, and they're getting that. And same thing, I remember in Niagara, they weren't getting any multiple offers. And we were getting calls from agents out there saying, how do you guys deal with this? You know, because in Hamilton, we had that experience. And that it's just the dynamics, how things have changed in this world. And that's what's, you know what, we're in a world where housing prices are going to keep climbing. As long as, you know, and it's not going to stop. Like, I mean, it will flatline in some years, and then it's just going to keep going. And it didn't drop as much as all the analysts and that predicted. It didn't drop as much. And now it is starting to climb a little bit. And that's why I always say, people, hey, you better get on board now, because if you don't, you know, that house is going to be worth a lot more money in a year from now than it is right now.
Toronto had the highest number of listings, over $1 million in Ontario, or after Oakville, at 37.6%. Montreal at 22%, over $1 million. And if you're wondering where Hamilton ranks on this list, we're number 26, 33.7% of the homes listed in Hamilton over $1 million. We're 2 spots below Toronto, 1 spot above Victoria, BC. Number 26, that's not bad. We're in the top 30.
No. Yeah, we made the cut.
Yeah, at least we're not St. John's, Newfoundland. Let's get to this. We got a few minutes to talk about this, and this is an interesting one. It's homeowners and realtors, according to experts, should be protecting themselves against title fraud. Are we seeing some cases pop up here?
It is. It's happening more and more often right now. The fraud level out there is so sophisticated right now. And apparently there was I think it was a Toronto couple. They started receiving letters in the mail from the bank saying that, you know, they're not making their mortgage payments and their house is paid for. And they're going, what's this about? Mm-hmm. And these people, and they, the people that they go after are seniors, because they know that their houses are paid for. So what they do is they try to get, make up a driver's license of themselves, and they can sell the house. You know, remember how earlier we've talked in the past where people were selling houses that weren't theirs, they're vacant houses possibly, or they were, you know, and they would go to the lawyer's office and they sold it, or they call a real estate agent, it gets sold, and it just goes through the whole process and they get the check. And guess what? Now all of a sudden the actual homeowner comes back, whatever, from a 6-month being away in Florida, comes back, finds out that's not his house anymore. It's somebody else's. Hmm. So, there is a lot of title fraud out there. I think anybody that's owned a house prior to, I think the 2000 to 2000, or I think they should look at getting titles insurance. If they still live in their house and their house is paid for, they should check with their lawyer if they have titles insurance, or go through their documents, because that protects them if there is fraud. But we can go on a little more about that after the break.
Yeah, I got a couple questions on this, because this is it's a scary situation and certainly has piqued a lot of people's interest as well. We'll get to it on the other side of the break. We're also going to get into, you know, we live in a digital world. Do real estate agents really serve a purpose? I'm sure Rob has a thing or two to say about that. And we're also going to talk about cottage country as well, and how that's looking for this spring, and whether or not you should buy a cottage with friends or family. Stay tuned for that. Don't forget, if you want to get your home sold or you're in the market to buy a house, the team to call is the Golfy team, the number one REMAX team in Canada, number 2 in the world, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. More of the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, next on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Zamprin with Rob Golfy. He's a sales representative with REMAX's Scartman Realty, the Golfy team, the number one REMAX team in the country. Call them today at 905-575-7700 to get your home sold for top dollar in this spring market. Online at robgolfi.com. That's robgolfi.com. And they're all over Facebook and Instagram, X, and TikTok. Give them a like, give them a follow as well. We're talking about title insurance, and basically this title fraud is when the ownership or title of a property is fraudulently changed or documents are forged to allow a fraudster to illegally sell or refinance a property. And we've had some instances. There's one in Toronto, I think it was a couple of years ago, where the homeowners get a call to say your home has been sold. And they're like, well, what do you mean? We own the home. We're making payments. We're okay. And apparently they were defrauded. Someone had stolen their identity and their home was up in arms. And I think it's still under investigation by Toronto police. But this is a very scary situation. It's still happening. Why, Rob, why don't the banks go, like, have someone physically go to the home in question to say, hey, is this all correct? Like, can they do that?
I know. It's like, you know what I mean? You live in a house and then, like, the banks should say, look, but they don't care. They don't care because the lawyer did the paperwork and the lawyer, you know, he took a picture of their driver's license. Their driver's license looks so real. Mm-hmm. Like, you could spend $5,000 on a high-end copy machine and make a legitimate looking driver's license.
Yeah.
And guess what? Now that's your house. So, but my opinion with this titles fraud, with this mortgage fraud that's happening, it's people in the industry. They know how to access information, they know if your house is paid for. So somebody is feeding them. I don't know if you can go to the City Hall and see if there's a mortgage on it, but there's like to find information if a house is paid for. Get the driver's license and copy that. Like, I don't know how they do it. Honestly, I don't know. But if somebody steals or refinances your house and gets money from it and all of a sudden you're being evicted because you haven't made mortgage payments, which you'd never had a mortgage on the house.
Mm-hmm.
You have to battle that. It's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars to battle that. Maybe even the hundreds of thousands. Now, titles insurance right away, they're going to battle that and they'll take care of it. They'll make sure that you don't go through that. Well, I mean, you're going through that, but they'll pay that mortgage off and then they'll go after whatever they can go after the people that did fraudulently put the mortgage on your house. If you actually have a fraudulent mortgage on there, they'll say, okay, listen, we're going to make sure the banks are off your back. We're going to cover that, but we're going to go after it, see who it is. And they'll get their investigators and everything else because they got a team of lawyers that'll take care of that. Now, if you don't, like I said, if you don't have that, it's going to cost you a lot of money. It is happening out there. Titles insurance is so important, especially for seniors. If you've been in your house for more than 35 years, you're not protected. And there's fraud out there like you would not believe. There's that people are stealing everything. They're stealing cars. They're stealing Robin Homes. They're stealing now. And the biggest game for these fraudulent people are people selling houses and selling and refinancing. Because you know what? If you got a house that's paid for, and you got $1 million house, you want 80% mortgage, and that's 800 grand you're going to get in your pocket if you're a fraudster.
Wow.
So chance that their payoff is huge. And so if they're getting 800 grand or even 500 grand, those people, I mean, they have the technology and the power to get to do this again and again and again, and they rarely get caught because they go to different cities, different lawyers all the time, and the lawyers takes a photocopy. They don't really. I mean, we're not, you know, police. We're not, you know, we don't know, you know, if it looks like a real driver's license. You have to compare yours with theirs. Mm. Yes, you'd probably be able to notice it, but nobody pays attention to it. You know.
Yeah.
So it's easy to defraud. To get money from a mortgage or a house.
Just before we go, I was just thinking about this. I think I have titles insurance. How can you find out whether you have it or not? Do you call your mortgage company? Can you call the bank? Who can you find out from?
Yeah, you know what? If you call, there's two major titles insurance companies out there. If you call each one of them, they'll have your name on there. But if you call your lawyer, and you look at your lawyer's documents. Hmm. Now, how long have you lived in your house?
I've been since 2004.
You should there's more, most likely you probably would have it, cause your lawyer would have probably recommended it to you.
Yeah.
And I guarantee it, you do have it. Now banks, it's an automatic. You have no choice but to get it. They're not going to allow it because the banks know titles insurance will pay the mortgage. There's not going to be an issue, if there's title fraud or anything like that. But yeah, I'm most likely you do have, titles insurance. Cause I remember I bought my previous house to this in 2004 and I had titles insurance.
Yeah. And it's not crazy expensive either. It's $900 for a home valued at $1 million. That is peace of mind.
Yeah, and chances are you paid probably $260 in 2004, $300 for that title insurance. It's gone up quite a bit because of the fraud.
Yeah, yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into how AI is impacting the real estate industry. And should you buy a cottage with family or friends? That's coming up next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
One more go around here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy. He's a sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty. You know them. It's the Golfy team, the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. Number two on the planet, 905-575-7700 is the number to call if you want to sell your house or you're in the market to buy a home. Check out the website, robgolfy.com, robgolfy.com. And for an instant home estimate, go online to golfyhomevalue.com. That's golfyhomevalue.com. All right, we live in a digital world. We have social media. We're always, you know, the cell phone is our new appendage and has been for years. Artificial intelligence has been wonderful in some sense, and, well, it has destroyed some jobs in another. And there's a suggestion that AI could take over the real estate world. Who needs a realtor like Rob Golfy when you got AI? Well, I'm sure, Rob, you're gonna say that, you know, AI is not the way to go. And I would agree with you because, you know, a realtor provides a personal touch, has all the information just like an artificial intelligence device would, and, you know, has the history of what's happened in our neighborhoods and where to look and where not to look.
Absolutely. We use AI now and we're deep into it. And I think a realtor, you'll still need a realtor, but you want a realtor that has AI. And if people don't know what AI is, it's artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. So we use AI to gather information together, and it's far greater. And it helps us, you know, describe a property. We can actually put a property picture of a property. It'll describe that room for us. But not only that, but like we'll always need realtors. The one thing about if you have no realtors, the one thing you will, a lot of lawsuits happen with that, especially private deals. You need them. Like realtors will put the information correct, you know, verifying information. Like a realtor is not going to put a property up for sale if there's issues with the house, because they're going to ask the homeowner about issues about the house. Mm-hmm. And they sign off on that. Like, you know what I mean? So we have to verify the house. So realtors will always be there, but what's going to help the realtor is the AI that's going to make the business even more knowledgeable and effective for us to work. AI is going to be there for good. And we've been using AI for many years, even prior to ChatGPT. We've been using it, but now this ChatGPT and this AI intelligence that is out there right now is incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty scary good. Just before we get to the cottage country thing, another thing why realtors are valuable is who wants to do this themselves, right? Who wants to go searching for a house and looking at comparables and diving into the history books? Like, leave it up to the professionals.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we have information about things that no intelligence could even get.
All right, let's dive into cottage country. There's a new report out that shows that prices are set to rise by 5% in 2024. It sounds like many people are diving back into the recreational property market. But when it comes to the question of whether or not you should buy a cottage with family or friends, Rob, what do you say?
Yeah, you know what? What happens a lot is the family cottage, the kids have grown up with it, and now the parents are passed away. Sometimes the siblings, they still keep it and they use it because it's working well. It's the third generation that becomes a problem. Or sometimes even the second generation, they buy out another sibling because maybe one sibling's not into the cottage, the other one is. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you're going to buy a cottage with a family or a friend, you got to set the rules, like who gets it for the long weekend, like the July 1st weekend, or, you know what I mean? Like who gets it for Thanksgiving weekend? Like you have to set that tone for that. Like who can they both afford to upkeep the property? It's expensive to have a cottage. I mean, you really got to think twice. But what's happening right now is the people that are selling the cottages are the ones that bought when the interest rates are at 1 or 2%. But now the people that could, you know, that could afford the cottage are coming into the marketplace, and the other ones are selling. So, but it is cottage country is picking up. There's no doubt. And it's the ones that, you know, that probably wanted to buy, didn't buy. Now they have the money to do it and they're buying. But you got to be very careful when you buy a cottage. It could be a very ugly situation. You know, you may lose some family and friends if you're partnering up with them.
Well, another thing too to consider. I mean, I would imagine that people who have cottages have a quote unquote regular home or their primary residence. That where are they getting this money to buy another house or a recreational property if prices are going up 5%?
I don't know. I was just saying that yesterday. Where is the money coming from? Everybody's got this money to buy things. They're buying, you know, expensive things. So there's a lot of cash out there. People are inheriting the money right now. There's a lot of money being passed down from their parents' generation, and, yeah, and they're the biggest savers. So people are, you know, they're getting money right now, and they're buying, and they're paying cars and houses and cottages and boats and everything else.
What I recommend is perhaps copying what you did, Rob, and buying the Winnebago and just going out on the road.
That's it. Yeah, I can't wait to get that on the road soon.
Rob, another great show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And don't forget, you can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for The Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform. Hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening to The Golfy Real Estate Show. We're back next Saturday at 9 on 900 CHML.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.